Next on BYUSN, a 12-win season for BYU football with a Pop-Tart punch. Is the Cougars' resume now strong enough to deserve a top 10 postseason ranking, or do they need more outside help? And thanks to another ranked win in that Pop-Tarts Bowl, which victories qualify as BYU's best in 2025? We'll discuss.
Delaney Gibb and Olivia Hamlin of Women's Hoops join us in studio to preview the massive game against number 8 TCU tomorrow night. And with the new year approaching, we look back at the best from BYU athletics in 2025 in a special edition of Top 10 Tuesday.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Tuesday, December 30th, I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is currently contemplating his New Year's resolution, Jerem Jordan.
My resolution is to have a resolution next year, and then we'll proceed from there. No, I think I'm like most people where I set a couple goals, and then by January 18th, I'm like, what did I say again? What happened? What's going on?
What did I write down? Where's that note?
Where is it?
Audiobooks for me. It's audiobooks for me. I need to get into that realm. Like, I've never been that guy, but I'm in my car so stinking much and driving so much. Like, listening to
until
audiobooks.
Until they build the bridge over Utah Lake.
It's my pipe dream. Can I make a New Year's resolution for every other environmentalist in Utah to allow said causeway over Utah Lake?
I saw something on Facebook, and I was like, oh, Spencer would like this.
Build the city in the middle of Utah Lake.
In the middle.
Audiobooks for me. Also, it will force me to not be angry while I drive. So there you go.
To right? not be angry while you drive. Depends on the book, maybe.
That's true.
Yeah.
I need something calming.
I think you need to stop listening to Rammstein when you drive. I think,
Duhash. You don't know it.
If you know, you know.
Google it.
You know, if you're
Google
our age, it. You know exactly what we're talking
about. On that note, with resolutions in mind, rise
ram.
And shout. It's time for What's Trending.
They go 12-2, fifth time ever with 12-plus wins, first time since 2001.
Yeah.
It's in a Power Four league. I mean, this was a special season.
Well, they're top four team all time, if we want to talk legacy and what this team means to BYU football. What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. What would the audiobook about 2025 BYU football say and include? Hopefully it begins with another 12-win season after beating Georgia Tech in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Entering bowl season, BYU was ranked number 12 in the final college football playoff rankings and in the final AP poll. Yesterday, we asked ESPN's Trevor Maddich if he now feels like BYU deserves a top 10 ranking because of what they did in the bowl game and the message that BYU sent. Here's his response.
I thought BYU should have been in the playoff because of who they beat, but also who they lost to. I mean, they only lost two games to the top, you know, the fourth team in the nation. And then they beat multiple ranked teams. And I think when you put that together, they deserve to be in the top 10. Who else has that kind of resume?
All right, Jerem, let's go next level on this. We dived into this topic a little bit yesterday, but let's go big picture here. Does BYU deserve a top 10 postseason ranking?
I think so. Texas A&M didn't really beat anybody in the SEC. They did beat Notre Dame. That was a notable win. You know, and then in league, Notre Dame didn't beat a SEC team with a winning record.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Notre Dame win was good, obviously. A&M's schedule is listed as 17th best in the country. I don't know how. I mean, when they lost to teams that, you know, they probably should have beat, you know, in Miami and Texas. You know, and those are acceptable losses, but they didn't. Who did they beat? You know, BYU had some quality wins. BYU had two wins in the top 25 of the college football playoff rankings, and you know, three with Georgia Tech in the bowl game. So BYU certainly had better wins. They had more wins. They had you know, their strength schedule only six behind A&M in the vaunted SEC. But it's like, who in the SEC? Dan Wetzel of ESPN made a great point on the College Game Day podcast this week. He said, we don't actually have conferences. We just have conglomerations of teams. In the NFL, they don't say, oh, this is an NFC team. That conference is pretty good. There are 16 teams in the NFC. There are more in the SEC than the Big Ten. It's interesting. And then Notre Dame looked like a bunch of babies with how they approached the postseason. So they're probably going to be penalized because people are annoyed by them.
Yes.
So if you take that into account with Notre Dame and A&M, perhaps BYU goes from 12 to 10.
The human element should show up between BYU and Notre Dame. People and by people I mean voters specifically, I feel are very annoyed that Notre Dame took the stance that they did. BYU opted into the game, won the Pop-Tarts Bowl, finished with 12 wins. BYU
without two of its best players, by the way.
Indeed, without LJ Martin and Jack Kelly, and your quarterback's injured. BYU has two more wins than Notre Dame. Two. One team is 10-2, the other is 11-2. One team played in a conference championship game in a Power Four league.
One team's in a conference. One team is not. We know what that's like to not be in a conference.
Like that, I would be shocked if BYU does not overtake Notre Dame.
At least 11.
To be at least number 11.
We're talking about the final eight people. Because that hasn't come out yet.
Yes.
That'll come out after the national championship.
The real conversation for BYU is, I think, most about Oklahoma and Texas A&M. But I'd actually give Oklahoma the nod over Texas A&M based on what Oklahoma did with their body of work compared to Texas A&M. Which I know to some people, like, wait, what? Well, Texas A&M was ranked number 7. Like, Oklahoma was 8. What?
A&M was overrated.
Not as simple as that. And they looked really not great their last two games. Lost to Texas, and then you lose on your home field against Miami and score 3 points. Like, what's the lasting impression of Texas A&M? What's the last thing that they fed to voters? It was not good. So, for me, like, BYU should supplant that team. I think A&M should end up number 11, Notre Dame number 12, and put BYU at number 10. If Oklahoma stays at 9 and they flip-flop with Alabama, fine, whatever. They beat Alabama at Alabama.
Yeah. That's a great win. No one's saying, that was meh. And again, A&M beat Notre Dame. That was a long time ago. Like, who are you since then? What have you done recently?
Yeah.
What have you done besides that?
Yeah.
And A&M had a great year, don't get me wrong. But when you're comparing to BYU, and, you know, BYU did a nice job this year. They beat, seven teams that won 7-plus games. Utah, Arizona, Georgia Tech. ECU ends up getting 9 wins. Iowa State, TCU, Cincinnati. So we're still waiting on Utah, Arizona, TCU, Cincinnati, who could add wins in their bowl games. We'll see. How much does this matter, though? Like, if BYU's 11th versus 10, does it really matter?
It is funny that it's one spot difference. Like, should it matter?
Just say top 11, then, if it's 11. Like, to me, this doesn't matter.
People love round numbers, and the phraseology of top 10 has been so long integrated into college football and college sports. It's like, top 10 team. Nobody says top 11 team.
Just start saying top 11.
But people won't because it's a weird number.
Tell me what BYU gets again if they're in the top 10. What do they get?
Pat on the back in the university history books.
They don't even get Pop-Tarts. I mean, you don't even get a box of Pop-Tarts.
Being the fourth team ever to finish in the postseason top 10.
Does BYU have a banner that lists all the top 10 teams or something? Like, what does BYU get? This doesn't matter. I mean, it'd be cool. It doesn't really matter. Does it help you in next year's preseason poll?
It adds to the conversation.
Not really.
Hey, you were a postseason. You were a top 10 team to finish the season.
But therefore, Boyd K. Packer on Thursdays, when the quorum of the 12 and the first presidency would meet, would always say, therefore what?
Like, BYU was a postseason top 10 team.
Formal,
that's all.
That's a formal way of saying, so what? Cool. That's great. Hey, yeah. Woo.
It just, listen, there are the human element in the AP poll. Like, if BYU is a postseason top 10 team, that will show up in every preseason magazine. Oh, they were in the top 10 to close out the season. They were in the top 10. They were in the top 10. They were in the top 10.
I don't know that it will. They'll just have their new preseason rank. Just be like, we have them at
off the season where they finished in the top 10. You know, like that rhetoric should be there.
If it's 11, great. It's
so
insane.
Here's the thing that I probably care
whether
the most
by my
about.
Own voice or by your voice, it is the same.
Here's the thing I care most about, I think.
What do you
if
care about?
If BYU is granted a top 10 postseason ranking, this to me, in a small way, is an admission by the majority voters of the AP poll that BYU should have been in the college football playoff, even with Tulane and JMU. Because if you're a top 10, it's like, oh, man. I know.
Well, doesn't
I know
that take into account what cheap, has occurred since?
It's cheap a little bit. But for me, that then signifies in a small way, maybe we didn't value BYU enough, and they probably should have been in the college football playoff.
I feel a little differently. But that's fine.
Yeah. That's how I, like, it would be a validation in my mind of, okay, BYU was college football playoff. I know a lot of people already think that, but if you're a top 10 team and you finish above Texas A&M and Notre Dame.
But it takes into account what happened in the bowl game. Like BYU, therefore, no, right?
Well, it's saying like Texas A&M, maybe Texas A&M was fraud. Like,
but
they
we didn't know that
there.
Until they played the Miami game.
Should we have known it before that, though, when they played Texas and then their resume all of a sudden was not that strong?
They were undefeated until that moment. And so it's like, well, they should be in the playoff. They only had one loss at that time. They should have been in the playoff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Texas A&M shouldn't have been in the playoff. You know,
I would love for BYU to be able to say they're a top 10 team. I would love that. I would love that.
I'm excited for the banner at Lavelle Stadium.
Kind of saying a banner in Studio B.
Fourth, what? Hey, we did before for the Pac-12 South Champs. Maybe we have top 10 finishes. Maybe we make it top 11 because then we can include 2020 and that weird year.
Yeah.
Where BYU chose to play ball.
I'm interested to see if it matters to fans or not. Like, does it matter
to
you?
Yeah, this is a good question.
Does it matter to you?
Doesn't matter.
Our question of the day, how much would a top 10 postseason ranking for BYU football this season matter to you?
I wish that we had a former player who played in the NFL, who's a pastor and has a doctorate and is an author that could weigh in on this. Mm. Oh, my gosh. At Derwin L. Gray weighs in. BYU's a top 10 team. The record speaks for itself. It's time for the college football experts to stop underappreciating BYU and Kalani Sitake. BYU's 23-4, the fifth best record in college football over the last 2 years. They're in the Big 12 Conference. That is the hope, because the fact that BYU was the lowest-ranked Power Four team that had one loss in the regular season and all that that we've talked about ad nauseum, that's frustrating. So where can this matter? To me, it's in the preseason ranking next year. That's where it could matter.
Will it help BYU if they're a postseason top 10 team more in next year's preseason ranking?
No, it's just about Bear and LJ returning to me.
You don't think it matters at all?
Not okay. Really. One spot in the AP poll is not going to shift
back.
Things.
Let's say Bear and LJ come back and you're coming off a top 10 season. Like, for me, see, I think that there is a little bit of a push, perhaps, if you are a postseason top 10 team and you bring those guys back. Like, I'll take anything I can get, even if it means one spot better in the preseason poll.
I don't think it makes it one spot worse if you're 11.
Okay. At 26, or 2_6_ SEMO says, I think BYU needs to move past this. It needs to be about winning conference championships, making the playoffs, and making runs in the playoffs while competing at the highest level. Same for hoops. Time to make a run in March. Now,
that's actually a great point.
I would offer this, though.
I like that a lot.
The preseason rankings matter for BYU and their hopes of being included in the playoff.
Well, not for the first one. If you win the Big 12, you're in. You know, the next step
for BYU is
not on December 30th.
If BYU's number 7 or number 8, you don't have to win the Big 12.
It's true, but if you're 7 or 8, you're probably undefeated or you're close there. It is true. The next step for BYU is to actually win the Big 12. And then you take it out of the hands of the committee.
Yeah, nobody's arguing that, but what I'm
saying
is
instead on December 30th,
matter.
we're arguing about what BYU's going to be 10 or 11. Like, no, it's almost silly.
It does matter that BYU gets themselves into a position where they are afforded the ability to slip up like other teams.
Well,
because they don't have that right now.
It's not about BYU's losses. It's that they got blown out. If BYU had played close twice to Texas Tech, they're probably in. Like, it's
why can
it's
Alabama
because they
lose
got
to
blown
Florida State
because they're
and
Alabama
get, and get blown out by Georgia?
Because they have a brand. BYU's building its brand still. As big as we think it is, it's not as big as Alabama. Like, so therefore, what? Play Texas Tech closer next time, twice.
If BYU
do that.
Is I'm telling you, if BYU has a higher position and they are number 5 when they play Texas Tech instead of number 7 or number 8, they lose. Even if they get blown out on the road to Lubbock, they're not falling all the way to number 12. Like that, then they're at number 10.
Right, but then don't get blown out again, right? The point is don't get blown out. That's the most controllable element here. It's not how people vote or what the committee feels like. Don't give them a reason to pull you over and give you a ticket. Like, just play competitive football. If you don't win, compete better. That's the most controllable thing to me in this process. It's not the nitty-gritty of discussing whether BYU is 10 or 11. It's like, just play Texas Tech closer next time, twice.
It feels simple, but it's not that simple, clearly. With the
it's
human
It's easier
element of the
to do that
class.
Than
is
hope
it?
You get votes.
Jeez.
You can't control the voters. You can control how you play.
Whew. Man, it's a nuanced conversation. I would like BYU to have the grace.
Don't turn it over 7 times.
In an individual season, not based on legacy of the past.
They will if they play closer. They will if they play closer.
23 wins in 27 games has to matter for something. It has to matter for something.
It
Why
didn't.
Are they in
it was,
history?
It was
in
Alamo
history,
and Pop-Tart.
The only team.
Which was fun for us.
The only team of the programs that have the seven most wins over the last few years in all of college football. Why are they the only team that doesn't have a single college football
playoff
spot?
Because they're new to a Power
spot.
Four league. They're new. They're a newcomer. They haven't traditionally been in these leagues and established and won anything that matters.
What does that matter,
recently.
Though? Why does legacy matter? What happens in a categorized one season?
Because humans are voting.
That's my point! That's my whole point.
But don't give them a reason.
Give them what they deserve this season so that if they do lose, they're not pushed out.
Play Texas Tech closer, and you won't give people a reason to think you're somehow a fraud. Well, we don't think
you're punishing them in
a
conference championship game, too. Well, you didn't punish Alabama.
Yeah.
Why?
No, we've talked about all this. What can BYU control in this offseason? They don't go, we need to control the AP voter. They're not saying that. They're saying, hey, we didn't compete with Texas Tech. We got to compete with them. Let's go.
Yeah, my whole thing is just I'll take whatever I can get so that BYU is granted some grace, even if they lose big. Like Alabama loses to Florida State. Like, huh? It doesn't feel fair. It's not, but
no.
Legacy.
Grace
legacy,
is given by Jesus.
Legacy reigns supreme.
And he is not involved in
All right.
the AP poll, unfortunately.
Okay, let's bring this back on the rails. In your opinion, what are BYU's top five wins from the 2025 season? They've got a ton of great wins.
Yeah.
Seven wins over teams with seven wins or more. ECU just finished with 9 wins after they beat Pitt in their bowl game. That's incredible. So how would you rank the top five best wins on BYU's schedule?
Okay, I go number one, Utah, 10-2, maybe 11, which, by the way, the most wins against a power team ever is 11 for BYU. It was SMU last year, a team that finished with 11. BYU, Utah could tie that. That'd be a great win. Number two, Georgia Tech, I said it yesterday, ranked win, neutral site, no LJ or Jack, drama at the very end, number two. Number three, Arizona. They finished number 17 in the college football playoff rankings. Double overtime, 10-point comeback with 4.5 minutes to go. That's an incredible win. You could argue that one's two, maybe. Number four, TCU. 31-point win against a Power 4 opponent who was 6-2 at one point this season at home. That's amazing. And then number five, I go Iowa State. That's right after the Utah game where traditionally BYU's been pretty beat up.
That's why
They're down 24-10 late in the second. No LJ after the first quarter. This is a team that started 5-0. They end up 8-4. I have that at number five. And then I go ECU, Cincinnati, Colorado, UCF, West Virginia, Stanford, Portland State.
Okay. So I agree primarily with you in 6 through 14. Okay. No real differences there. But at number five, I put TCU there because it's a home game for BYU. And it was incredible. The way BYU played, it was their closest thing to a complete awesome game all year. No doubt about that. But I put Iowa State at number four because of where that game landed in the schedule. Like, you are coming off the emotional high of beating Utah. You've gone through a gauntlet. It's your 8th game. Like, you've played how many? 5 straight Big 12 games with no break, no bye. Like, BYU was beat up. LJ Martin got hurt early in that game. BYU's down double digits, 17-3. BYU was in a weird place in Ames. So for them to battle back and win that game and get to 8-0 and that put them in the top 10 of the college football playoff rankings, like, just because of the context of when that game happened and who was not available in that game, on the road, tough place to play, I put that at number four above TCU. Number three, I put Georgia Tech there. And I know that some of you are saying, whoa, 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 Spencer, Georgia Tech, the huge national audience, what does it mean for the brand of BYU and, like, all the good vibes? Trust me, I know. From a national standpoint and perception of BYU, it was critical that BYU won that game and did so without LJ Martin and without Jack Kelly and a hurt Bear Bachmeyer again. I just think the quality of the opponent compared to Arizona and where the game happened in a neutral site, the win at Arizona for me was just another double-digit road rally win. You're down 10 in the fourth quarter again, and you come back to win that game in double overtime, the grit that BYU showed there, and then what that game turned out to be. Like, Arizona's ranked higher than Georgia Tech now. Arizona is, that feels like they're back. Like, their team is good. Their defense is really good.
You got to do it more than 1 year to be back, to me.
So for me, like, winning that game on the road, when we zoom out and look at what Arizona actually was, that edges out Georgia Tech. I'm not saying that it didn't matter more for the Pop-Tart celebration and, like, how many eyes saw it and like
the, still don't know that
the
number
positive vibes that that it will bring to BYU. Like, trust me, I know that there's more. But
you beat a team named Tech. That was big for us.
In just a game, like, in just, like, discussing the game, where it happened, what it meant for BYU's resume. If BYU loses that game at Arizona, they're not in the Big 12 championship game. Arizona's in the Big 12 championship game. So that game mattered a lot. And then, obviously, clear number one is Utah. Like, that, your best win, highest-ranked team, and they could finish with 11
wins. You're
going
to hear a lot of people argue against that, thought no one.
So those are the top
all the crows
wins.
Are calling my name, thought Kyle. It's one of my favorite Jack Handys. Texas Tech plays Oregon in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day. Very excited about this game. For some reason, this is in the Orange Bowl because tradition really matters in college football, except when we get rid of the Pac-12 and you know, all the conferences. But gosh dang it, we need to keep the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and the Rose. I don't know why. How much does Texas Tech and what they do in the college football playoff impact BYU?
It matters. I mean, every BYU fan is like hardcore Texas Tech fan right now. Every
Absolutely.
Single one of them, because it provides validation for the entire Big 12 conference and for BYU's schedule. And again, it's almost like forgives to a degree if Texas Tech beats Oregon and gets into the semifinals. Because a lot of people, most people, I feel experts-wise, are picking Oregon to beat Texas Tech. Like, oh, they can't handle the, like, they're finally facing a real team out of the Big Ten with real athletes. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, stop that rhetoric. Texas Tech faced good competition in the Big 12.
And they smashed everybody.
They're totally degrading
minus
the
Arizona
Big 12
State.
Conference by saying, like, well, who has Texas Tech played? Like, what is that?
They crushed the number 10, we hope, team in the country twice. That's pretty good.
I hope. Oh, do I hope.
We didn't like it.
Texas Tech wins
happened.
This game so that there is some validation for the Big 12 conference. And then as a subsidiary, BYU is like, yep, see, we told you Texas Tech is really stinking good. And we know that they embarrassed us twice, but they also beat Oregon. And now they have a legitimate chance to go and win the college football playoff. Like, if Texas Tech can get past Oregon, I think they're good enough to beat anybody.
Yeah.
Like they could win.
Indiana, Alabama next, right?
Yes. They're good enough to beat Indiana and Alabama.
Yeah. Texas Tech can win the national championship. To me, the impact is not necessarily about this year. It's about perception moving forward of the Big 12 and the new Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma.
So critical.
This could help BYU's at-large chances next year if Texas Tech makes a run. It would prove that the league is stable and powerful without Texas and Oklahoma. The Big 12 is 1-7 in the college football playoff. They have really struggled as a league. We, the league, now that we're in it.
Even with Texas and Oklahoma.
This is important that Texas Tech not just beats Oregon. They need to make a run. Like, I need to see them win two games and get to the national title and really have an impact here. They at least need to win this game, Spence. And it's less about validating this year because that's over. Like, what BYU did is done. Like, it's for the future so that when the committee gets together, they go, hey, they play good ball in the Big 12. And if BYU does beat Texas Tech, let's say next year, that win would, in the Big 12 title game, if it was that, again in a mega rematch, you know, a year in the making, then it would have even more impact based on what Tech did last year. So it has massive implications on the entire league, including BYU.
Just win for the Big 12.
It's important. Yeah, this is where being in a league, you root for that team. Like, that champ needs to rep. It would have been nice if Arizona State had
won
last year.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Arizona State was in position to beat Texas.
4-15 or whatever?
As the 12 seed, as the team that, like, snuck in. Arizona State was so good last year with Camp Scataboo leading the way. Like, they were so tough.
They were technically, like, the 3, right?
Yes.
Because got the bye, conference champ. And
they're in position. Yeah. Like, yeah, it would have been great for the Big 12 Conference for Arizona State to win that game. But even then, people were saying, like, oh, man, maybe we didn't value Arizona State in the Big 12 enough.
But the league still didn't get respect this year off of that. Like, and one game can have a big impact. I mean, ideally, you look at the whole league and everybody and everything, but we're all playing for third anyway, you know? And it's individually, how are you composed? How do you compete? BYU's got a certain amount of respect. They want more. It would help if Texas Tech makes a run.
Go Red Raiders.
Yeah, come on.
Go Raiders. Let's do this thing.
Okay, number 10, BYU men's basketball. They're going to play a basketball game this week. They have a 12-day break. They don't play until Saturday, but they begin Big 12 play at Kansas State on CBS and BYU Radio. Saturday, 1:30 Eastern, pregame on BYU Radio at 12:30 Eastern time.
Up next, It's a dynamic duo from BYU women's basketball. Delaney Gibb is back, and freshman star Olivia Hamlin joins her in studio to preview a massive Big 12 home opener against 8th-ranked TCU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Back Delaney Gibb. In transition, drains the triple. Hamlin, good. And the career high just keeps going up. Biggest shot of the game comes from Olivia Hamlin.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And just across the way, a dynamic duo on that starting guard line for BYU women's basketball. Delaney Gibb and Olivia Hamlin, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Last time we chatted, you were out of the country.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good to have you back.
Yes.
How were the Sunshine Rays, and how did they impact you through the rest of the non-conference, Olivia?
I thought it was great. I had super fun, and it was fun playing in a tournament somewhere other than BYU and stuff like that, so it was fun.
And you guys are ready to go to practice right after this.
Yes, we are.
What's practice going to be like today, and how long have you been back?
Mm-hmm. I've been practicing a couple weeks. Obviously, I played at UCF, super exciting. Practice will kind of look similar to how it's been all of the season so far. We'll have film, we'll have lift, and then we'll have an hour, probably over an hour of practice where we get after it.
Mm-hmm. How was that first game for you back off of your injury?
Oh, it was amazing. I was so happy to be back. Obviously, I had a lot of fun sitting out and just being able to like watch our team and the growth that we had, but being able to be back and get some minutes, it was so fun. I always love to be able to be on the court. So
I don't think that Lee thought it was fun that you were sitting out.
Not everyone says that exactly. So what was it that was so fun watching the team continue to win?
Yeah.
And find different ways to win.
Yeah, I mean, It was honestly, I just had a great time. Obviously, it's frustrating being out, and I want to be on the court. I want to be able to help our team be successful. But the growth that we could see from the start of the season until after, being on the bench, it's a little different. And you really get to see like how players are blooming and how the team is just becoming more and more successful. And so it was super cool. And then obviously we had a couple tough games where I'm over there like trying not to rip my hair out, but we ended up, pulling out the win, which is so fun.
Not every star player necessarily could say or want that. So I like what you just said, because you might be like, well, if they struggle without me, that shows my value. But the team thrived. And Olivia, you get inserted in the starting lineup. There's more opportunities for you. Mm-hmm. What did you learn and this team learn with Delaney out that now when you add her, you're even better?
I mean, obviously it was hard without Delaney, but like we just got to push through it with our star player. And I think that's exactly what we did, is we learned how to work together and build that chemistry without Delaney. But with Delaney back, it's going to be even fun. So I'm excited.
Are you like, hey, can I have a few of the shots I was taking when you were gone? Can I still put them up?
I don't know.
Delaney, you have a unique perspective for this next question, because you were a part of so many what if games last year, like one or two plays, and you're winning a majority of those games, but you didn't. Mm-hmm. Now you're watching this team win those close games. So from your perspective as Coach Gibb and now as player Gibb, what's the difference between BYU being able to close out games?
Yeah, honestly, it's been so cool. It's almost been like inspiring for me, because I feel like we have such a young starting lineup with me out. I mean, I'm even a sophomore, and it's so cool to see just like how composed and how confident our team was in those moments. And so I think that's something that is super exciting. And I think will help me when I'm back, just like forgetting about, we had so many games where it was like we could have won and just slipped out of our fingers. And so I think this season, just being able to see our team and how confident we were, how confident Lee was as a head coach, and just the confidence that he instilled in our team and the players, I think that's what's going to help us to close out tough games.
The BYU teenagers are getting it done. 12-1 right now. Olivia, you guys go to the Virgin Islands, as we mentioned. You went to Orlando and won the first conference game. Mm-hmm. Then you have this break. Is it weird kind of starting league play and then stopping for Christmas break? And now you're back for the biggest game of the season tomorrow night against TCU?
I mean, yeah, like that break was great, but like starting to lock in, we started to lock in like right after like the 26th and just kind of preparing for big TCU. So yeah, I'm excited and just trying to prepare for that game. So
let's talk about the Horned Frogs. They feature one of the best players in all of college basketball in Olivia Miles. She's a triple-double threat in any game she plays in. So Delaney, from your standpoint and vantage point, what is the challenge like of defending her and this TCU mm-hmm. team?
Yeah, I mean, it's so fun when you get to match up and play like a great player, and she is so fun to watch. Like, she's someone that I've been watching for years now, and it's so fun to be able to play her now. I actually played against her last year in the FIBA Americas in Chile, and so it's so fun to be able to bring that to college and just like have such a fun matchup. But yeah, definitely we have a great scout. Our coaches are preparing us well, and so just making sure that we're assignment sound, we know what we're supposed to be doing, and yeah, just going out and competing the best that we can
and having fun. That's the best part.
how do you have fun when you're competing? What does that look like?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess just like when everybody's like working hard and playing together, like it's just so fun to be out there and just kind of compete to the best ability you can and stuff. So I think it's fun. But
did one of you have a birthday recently? Because I saw some. Was it your birthday? I saw Delaney posting on Instagram giving the love.
Birthday.
How was the birthday?
It was good. It was super fun. Just went to Idaho for my birthday, so it was good.
Close to Christmas.
Yes.
What's the specific day?
The 28th.
Okay, so 3 days after. Did you feel like you ever got cheated?
Sometimes. Sometimes I feel like people forget, but it's all right.
His birthday's 2 weeks before
yes.
Christmas.
I've got a daughter with a birthday that was yesterday, too. So
oh, really?
We're navigating all of this, okay? Yes. Trying to make everyone feel special.
Yes.
We
yes.
hope that you two feel special on BYU Sports Nation as we preview the Cougars and Horned Frogs. Mm-hmm. It's unique that you get TCU so early in the slate, and it's a real litmus test. So how do you prepare for a game like this, of this magnitude, knowing that there is so much tough competition down the road?
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. It's like it's a great test for us. Mm-hmm. And we've played great teams so far in the Virgin Islands and in the rest of non-conference, but this is going to be a true like test and welcome to the Big 12. And I think for us it's super exciting because we're kind of like an unknown team. Like, no one really has a lot of ideas what we're going to do this season, and I think that we're going to surprise a lot of people. And so it's so fun to be able to match up against TCU and just kind of find out where we lie in this league. And I think that that's going to really benefit us in the future.
What does a win look like tomorrow? What did you guys do if you win?
What do we do? Party hard.
Still riding the birthday. I see. Nice.
Yeah, I would say that. And then also it's New Year's, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow. So probably just, I don't know, have fun, party hard. If we win, oh, it'd be great.
We've been telling people, listen, New Year's Eve, those parties start at like 10, okay? The party starts at 7, though, in the Marriott Center, does it not?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be in the Marriott Center. Let's pack it for the biggest game, I would argue, of the season. How do you balance knowing, like Spencer said, this is a massive game, but also like, hey, it's just one game. We got to be better than them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the Big 12 is. Like, every single night someone new can win, and so it's so fun to have this opportunity. But also having the perspective of the season is just starting. Like, mm-hmm. conference is just starting. We have so much time. This is going to test us, and it's going to help us determine what we need to either work on or what maybe some of our strengths already are.
So we've talked about, going to Orlando, the Virgin Islands. You went to all over the place with Team Canada, including Chile. Mm-hmm. You were on the cruise in Mexico. What was the best travel spot you've been to in the last year?
That's a great question.
Because the cruise was fun. It was fun hanging out.
Yeah, no, the cruise was very fun. I really enjoyed the cruise.
Chile?
Chile was really fun, but I'm more of a, like, beach or, like, pool person.
Mm.
I'm going to say I went to my cabin in Montana. It's on a lake with all my family.
Oh, so yeah.
That's a great Canadian answer, Delaney. Going to Montana, that's awesome.
Seclusion, right?
Montana, underrated. Underrated vacation spot.
It is big sky really country. Good. Okay, both of you, as we wrap up, we need you to send your own message to Cougar Nation about what it means to have them show up on New Year's Eve for this game. Olivia, what's your message to all BYU fans who may not have any set New Year's Eve plans?
Come to our game. I think just like, I think the atmosphere tomorrow will be fun, especially because it's like the first big game of Big 12. And I think we play obviously a great team. So I think it'll be a fun one for us to see how we compete. And yeah.
My turn?
Yeah, Delaney, you're up.
Your turn.
Cougar Nation, come to our game tomorrow. It's going to be a great game. We're playing one of the best teams in the nation, and we need your support. We know that you guys are awesome. Coug Nation is the best fan base in the nation.
Heck yes.
So come support.
Let's go.
Yes.
League pass working for you?
Yeah.
It's going great.
Yes.
Right, great to have both of you with us. Let's give you all of the BYU Sports Station karma.
Let's go. I can't wait for the game tomorrow. I'm so excited.
In the
party
ethos.
Hard, as Olivia said.
Yes.
That BYU player said party hard.
Party hard. In the BYU context.
In the pro, hey, ain't no party like a Provo party. You know what's up. Come on, let's go.
Cougar Tales and Martinelli's.
Yes!
Tomorrow night at the Marriott
On
Center.
Spencer, let's go. Tomorrow night, 9 Eastern time, the biggest game yet for women's basketball this season. Number 8 TCU coming in to play BYU. Tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, getting New Year started early on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Still on the way, Puka Nacua makes NFL history again last night. Yegor Jalman broke a Nets rookie record, and one BYU quarterback planning to enter the transfer portal. Tuesday headlines are next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It's time for today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Get educated. Puka Nacua and the Rams lost to Tyler Allgeier and the Falcons. What a crazy game. 27-24 in Atlanta on Monday Night Football last night. Puka caught 5 passes for 47 yards and a touchdown. Almost had one of the greatest catches of all time. Nearly had it.
It was
while becoming
so
the fastest player in NFL history to 300 career receptions, doing it in just 43 games. That's crazy. Allgeier had 10 carries for 23 yards for the Falcons in the win.
Blair Angulo of 24/7 Sports reporting yesterday that BYU quarterback McKay Hillstead plans to enter the transfer portal when it opens this Friday, January 2nd. Hillstead spent the past 2 seasons in Provo after transferring down from Utah State. And BYU football radio analyst and KSL Sports Zone's Hans Olsen posted the following about BYU safeties coach Gavin Fowler yesterday. He says, quote, "Just hearing from people at Weber State, BYU assistant safeties coach Gavin Fowler is starting duties as their defensive coordinator today. Gavin has been with Jay Hill for the last 3 years. He knows this BYU defense well and has had major responsibilities for safety development."
Couldn't we just ask Blaine about this? ESPN's Joe Lunardi has BYU men's basketball as the 3 seed in his latest bracketology. The Cougars return to action Saturday in the Big 12 opener at Kansas State on CBS and BYU Radio.
ESPN's Charlie Cream has BYU women's basketball as one of the last 4 teams in the field in his latest bracket. BYU hosting 8th-ranked TCU tomorrow night in their Big 12 home opener. Massive game. Get to the Marriott Center if you can. Coverage at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
It just hit me. Is Gavin Fowler the first former BYU TV sports student to be mentioned in the headlines getting a coaching job?
Probably.
And Yegor Jalman scored a career-high tying 23 points, set the Nets' rookie record with 7 made three-pointers. Woo! Last night. Made more threes than Steph Curry. Let's go. In a 120-107 loss to the Warriors. How about that? Jalman averaging nearly 10 points a game, 36.5% from three. So far in his rookie year, he's having an outstanding season.
I just love that, again, the number one knock on him coming out of BYU was, well, he can't shoot well.
And that's his main thing. He's more of a shooting guard. His usage rate is about 20%. He's not a high usage rate guy. He's averaging 16 a game in the last 5.
Shooting the three is literally the best thing that he does in the NBA. The knock on him. Oh, so happy for Yegor.
Buzz cut looking good.
He told us he was going to do this, Jerem. He backed it up.
Yeah. I like a dude that backs it up. Let's go.
I love the Nets broadcaster who also says, "Jalman." It's always a Jalman.
Like the PA or the Ian Eagle?
It's the broadcaster. Ian Eagle does some of the games, but there's another guy when Ian Eagle's not available because of his NFL responsibility.
Jalman.
Yes. Yegor Jalman.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, do your thing.
If only he had told us that last year. I still don't know why he didn't. It's so weird.
Oh. It is our final show of the 2025 calendar year. So we're going back to look at the best of BYU athletics in the year 2025.
Yeah.
From AJ DeBonta to Bear Bachmeyer to runs to the Sweet 16 and more.
So much goodness.
Top 10 Tuesday is next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. It is a top 10 Tuesday as we relive the best from BYU athletics in the year of 2025. And we should point out some honorable mentions before we get into the 10, Jim.
Tough list to make. So a couple that didn't make the top 10. Delaney Gibb, Big 12 freshman of the year in women's hoops. Suli Davis, freshman, kill record of BYU, number one in the country among freshmen. She transferred to SMU. Connor Mant set the marathon record for the United States, which is pretty cool. So we begin at number 10.
The marathon record didn't make the list.
Didn't make it. What a year. Number 10, Puka Nacua becomes perhaps the best receiver in the NFL. This season, leading the NFL in receptions with 119, 109.3 a game, second in total receiving yards with 1639, seventh in receiving touchdowns. Fastest receiver in NFL history, as we mentioned, to 300 career catches, 43 games. Tied for the fastest to 4,000 career receiving yards, doing so in 42 games. He is unbelievable. And he's number 10.
Puka's at number 10. At number 9, R-Dub 3, Robert Wright III at Madison Square Garden. A buzzer beater spectacular on December 9th, earlier this month, in the most famous indoor basketball arena in the world. From Mihailo Boskovic drills the game-winning three. Let the celebration ensue. Huge win for BYU. Huge shot. All-timer for BYU.
It was amazing. Number 8, Yegor Dioman. At the time, he was Yegor Devin. Then he became Yegor Dioman this night when he was drafted 8th by the Brooklyn Nets. First draft pick since Jimmer. Highest overall pick since Rafael Araujo, number 8 in 2004. Averaging nearly 10 points a game while shooting 36% from 3 so far in his rookie season.
At number 7, shout out to BYU women's soccer. A magical run to end the season and go through the Big 12 tournament and then get to the Sweet 16. I mean, BYU had to beat Utah in their final game of the regular season just to get into the Big 12 tournament as the final seed at number 8. Then they beat number 1 seed TCU in PKs before blowing up Baylor 4-0 and beating Kansas 1-0 in the championship match. First ever Big 12 championship for BYU. The Cougars earned a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, beat Utah State in PKs, then beat UCLA in the second round again in PKs before they got to the Sweet 16. Magical team, especially in penalties.
Bummer to lose Izzy Stratton to UNC, but UNC, you can respect that. Number 6, Jane Hedengren, runner-up in the NCAA Cross Country National Championships as a true freshman. She was one of the favorites coming in, took second, which is incredible. Senior Riley Chamberlain took fourth, BYU's fifth top two finish at the NCAA Championships since 2019. Another fantastic season for the ladies.
At number 5, maybe some recency bias to play here, but whatever. It's the best post-game celebration in a bowl game that BYU's ever had. Largely thanks to the Pop-Tarts, sprinkles, and swirls. BYU takes care of number 22 Georgia Tech. They do so without L.J. Martin, without Jack Kelly, with an injured Bear Bachmeyer. Evan Johnson with his team-leading fifth interception of the season to seal the game with 6 seconds left. Bear Bachmeyer, game MVP after he threw for 325 yards.
And Bear high-fived Spencer. Number 4, A.J. DeBonta's December to Remember. What a month! Nearly 28 points per game, 8 rebounds, 5.7 assists, 2.3 steals, shot 66% from the field, 78% from the stripe, had BYU's first ever 30-point triple-double over Eastern Washington, 33-10-10, second in Division I, 23.1 points per game, BYU's 12-1, number 10 in the AP poll. This dunk was juicy. There were some others. I mean, AJ's been unbelievable.
If he never played another BYU game, his highlight reel in a BYU uniform would already be insane.
We haven't even seen a Big 12 game yet.
It would already be insane.
Oh, my God. Can't wait.
at number three. Fittingly, BYU's third straight win over arch nemesis Utah. Whoop! Rewind to October 18th at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. BYU beats Utah 24-21. Bear Bachmeyer, there's a bear on the loose in Provo! 166 passing yards, ran for 64 with that aforementioned TD. Tanner Wall intercepting Devin Dampier as well. Critical play in the fourth quarter. By the way, it's been exactly 2,315 days since BYU last lost to Utah.
The Super Y was created as well that night.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Iconic.
It was just a Y before that.
Iconic.
Now it's the Super Y.
From Chase.
Number two, men's basketball's run to the Sweet 16 in year one under Kevin Young. In the tourney in Denver, BYU beat VCU 80-71 in the first round. Wisconsin 91-89 in a thriller to advance to the program's first Sweet 16 since Jimmer Fredette in 2011, just the third in program history. Richie Saunders, 25 in the second round against Wisconsin.
And at number one, a true freshman quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer. He's been on campus 6 months, people. Leads BYU to 12 wins and their first ever Big 12 championship game appearance. This is off an 11-2 season when there was quarterback upheaval with the departure of Jake Retzlaff. Bachmeyer becomes just the fifth true freshman quarterback since the year 2000 to win 10 or more games. BYU beat 10 Power 4 opponents, 7 games against teams with at least seven wins against teams with at least 7 wins.
Crazy. I mean, we could not have imagined how good Bear would be this year. And what a year by LJ Martin, we should mention as well.
Oh, yeah. Big 12 offensive player of the year.
We anxiously await his decision. Hopefully he's coming back.
Run it back.
Those are the top 10. Top 10 of 2025. What a year. Can't wait for 2026. If you miss any interviews, trending topics, or any other BYU Sports Nation content, you can always subscribe to, follow, download, on demand anytime on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
After the break, more responses to our question of the day. Does a top 10 postseason ranking matter for BYU? And a shout out to Cougars in the Pros breaking more records. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back with our question of the day. It is, how much would a top 10 postseason ranking for BYU football matter to you? At Gen X BYU fan with our first response here.
It will only matter if it would actually propel us next year with a higher starting point in the rankings, but not holding my breath due to the bias against BYU. Cougar stats going off this morning.
Reminding us about
all of the unjust rankings historically and whatnot, which is factual. It is annoying. Yeah. Hopefully BYU can be top 15 next year in the preseason bowl. They deserve it if Bear and LJ come back.
How about this stat? BYU is the team, more than any other in college football history, that has finished a season ranked and been unranked the next season, more than any other program. 13 times that has happened. The next closest is 10.
Think about it in 85, Robbie Bosco and the Cougs win the national championship. Then they're number 10 in the preseason poll. It's like, why aren't they number 4? Why aren't they number 1? They returned the quarterback. And what
good gosh. At BYU alumni DF Dub says, nice, but not critical. 10 or 11 is equivalent.
Not to Spencer.
You would think. But not just to me. I think that's the thing. Like, no one says top 11. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. Maybe we should just start saying it. Top 11 team.
Top 11 team.
It's a thing.
That's a top. If BYU beats TCU in women's hoops tomorrow, top 11 win.
Okay. Our elite voice, again, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, from at Big B Brent Barton, who says, not much. As much as I hate preseason rankings, they matter. When BYU has to climb from being unranked to start the year, they have a tough time getting to a fair ranking and seem to be still off the radar for too many people when it comes to the end. Yeah. Starting position matters more.
It does. Yep, it does. Ah. Like F1.
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yegor Dioman, Nets rookie record, 7 threes last night. And then Puka Nacua, fastest player in NFL history to 300 catches. That's amazing.
Those are incredible numbers.
We'll be back live Friday to preview the Big 12.
Show up for the BYU women's basketball game tomorrow if you're close to Provo. Our thanks to today's guest, Delaney Gibb and Olivia Hamm.
Happy New Year to my boy, Dennis Pitta.
That was nice of you. Is that a New Year's resolution, to be nice to Dennis?
I'm never mean.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Zane Anderson, the Zane Train. Go Cougs.